You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life, but when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone? Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 19 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And they tell me I'm Sarah.
This episode of Swish and Flick is sponsored by Regine Urbar. Thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon. Today, we will begin our latest spin-off, the Scamander Stories.
Woo! Woo!
It has to do with Newt Scamander.
Oh, she's back!
She never really leaves.
Today, we will be discussing what we know so far about the crimes of Grindelwald. We could possibly be discussing Fantastic Beasts spoilers, so please be warned. As everything we do in this podcast is spoilers for anybody new. And I mean, we're all new to Fantastic Beasts, so...
We should just be called Spoilers and Flick.
It's comedy gold, Katie Gold. All right, so before we begin, Megan has weekly profit stuff. Let's go to Meg's Meowshows. And if you're on Twitter and you or Instagram and you read it that way every time you see her post, you're welcome.
So I found this cool new theater review article on the Harry Potter in Concert series that goes on.
Oh, yeah.
You guys know all about that?
Yeah.
So for anybody that doesn't know what it is, Harry Potter in Concert is basically where you get to go to like the nice theater district of your city and go and see your local orchestra perform all of the music from Harry Potter while the movie's playing.
Do they have the Cleveland Orchestra doing this?
Is it coming to Cleveland? I know it's coming to Akron.
Oh. I was going to be like mind blown because they're not your average orchestra.
They're not. Like they're actually one of the exceptional.
Best. So
well, no, like I mean like fantastic blown. Orchestras are
not
doing
saying,
this.
I'm not saying they're no,
she's
not
just
fantastic
wondering if for us. It's
I don't know
Orchestra.
If I don't know if they've announced that it's coming to Cleveland yet.
I know
that coming to Akron.
Columbus Orchestra does it. Me
and
Meg
we
saw
went
the first
in
one.
Columbus, and it was amazing.
Oh, so cool. Not a Harry Potter one, but actually, this comes out when?
This comes out next Sunday.
Okay, so December, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this month, I will say. I am going to see this, but for The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, that'll be
super cool.
Yeah. I don't know which orchestra is doing it, though.
So amazing.
Is it in Cleveland?
I can look it up.
It is? Is it Playhouse?
I don't know if they would do it. If the Cleveland.
I'll look it up.
But yeah, look it up.
Harry Potter in concert, it was honestly, this is like my little review of it. Me and Katie went to Columbus to go see Sorcerer's Stone, and it was seriously like I was seeing it at midnight
again, for the first time.
Oh, just excitement.
Because it's like people who are there paid good money to see it,
right?
And it wasn't necessarily for the orchestra. It was more so for the experience of seeing the movie in a big screen setting again with the live orchestra playing the music. Like, the whole thing is just a cool concept, but like mostly it's just massive Harry Potter fans that are getting together.
Please tell me they dressed up.
We got there kind of late, so I don't know. It was dark. I'm sorry. Some people, well, everybody had on Harry Potter stuff.
I did wear my Newt Scamander bow tie.
She did.
You would.
Yeah. But it was just the coolest experience.
Are you sure it's not at Severance Hall? Because this one says it's the Cleveland Orchestra.
When
Disney
is it?
In concert, Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas.
When is it?
There's a couple showings.
December, though, right?
December 20th.
Guys, I guess I'm seeing the Cleveland Orchestra.
That's pretty cool. I
mean, that's pretty boss.
If you've never been, first of all, if you've never been to Severance Hall, it's beautiful.
I've never been, which is amazing for someone like me who was in band, was in pep band, was in orchestra. Like,
the reason I've been to it so many times because we would go on field trips in grade school and stuff. Did we do it in high school at all?
I think.
Like once a year we would go.
That's pretty cool.
So first of all, the place is gorgeous. And when you look, if it's at Severance Hall, when you are in like the seating, if you look up, fun fact about the place, the whole ceiling is designed after like, I think the guy's last name was Severance, like Mr. Severance's wife's wedding dress.
Whoa, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. And then if you like when you first walk in, if you look down on the floor, there's like when they were building it, someone dropped a nail and they left it there. So there's like a nail somewhere in the flooring that you can see, but you have to like kind of search hard to find it. But anyways,
it's like a where's
the place
wall,
is beautiful. And the Cleveland Orchestra is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I've gone there a couple of times.
Well, you know how I know they're good? They mention it in Gilmore Girls.
Well, they're like, they travel all over the world. They're world renowned. They're like one of the top orchestras in the world. Huh. So we're lucky to have him.
Well, then I'm stoked. I'm also wearing my Jack Skellington leggings and a sweatshirt when I go. So I'm going to look real nice.
Oh my gosh. Hopefully, because this is what it's saying, that it's the Cleveland Orchestra at Severance Hall.
I don't think it would be anything else.
Yeah.
Like it would make sense to have it.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like an orchestra kind of thing. Like, Why wouldn't you, if you're having in Cleveland, why wouldn't you have the Cleveland Orchestra doing? They're in your disposable. Yeah. Disposable. They're at your disposable. Get it, disposal.
Yeah,
I can't say things.
Back to Megan.
So, yeah, so I guess, like, the whole Sorcerer's Stone has pretty much gone everywhere that's going to go, but I think it's still playing in some places. So now Chamber of Secrets is starting to come out in all the cities.
Are we going to go?
I had to see the first one.
I feel like you have to see in order.
I'm just saying.
But it's coming in the spring, I guess, to Akron. So Chamber of Secrets will be in Akron.
I'll go.
It says that...
By myself.
I want to see that Puffs play.
Yeah. So do I.
Speaking of things in spring, because so I'm do getting I, older majorly. In the spring.
We'll talk about it. We'll make
so happen. Anybody who doesn't know, like, the whole concept of this Harry Potter in concert thing is the film is played on a screen above the stage while the score is performed live by the orchestra that's in your city.
You
crap your pants, you John Williams.
I just think
rolling.
It would be amazing.
It was awesome.
That's what I love. Like, because this is a little off tangent, but talking about scores, we were watching Star Wars and just like listening to that kind of music, especially something like iconic, like Harry Potter, Star Wars, like anything that has had like
epic
like,
orchestras.
A huge following. Like you, when you hear the music, you know exactly what it is.
Oh yeah. Just yeah.
Something that I, oh my
basically
God.
Basically anything that John Williams has touched.
Yeah. John Williams
would
is
cry a little
iconic.
Bit.
I actually was like, oh my God, is he still alive? Yes, he is.
Yes. So like the cool thing is, I mean, obviously we've all heard the music before and like we relate it. But there's just something about like being surrounded by it when you're there.
Like, yeah.
And then like you see the movie there, but you're like just surrounded by this beautiful music. And so yeah, that's my weekly profit. I just wanted to let it be known that Chamber of Secrets was starting to make its rounds, and that it's a really awesome experience. If anybody has it coming to their city, you should go check it out because it's amazing.
Yep. Agreed.
Yep.
That'd be really cool to go see it.
That article also did mention that people dressed up, so I guess people do dress up to this. We were late.
I think
that
they went to the one like in Miami or something, and they were
like dressed up in character stuff.
Yeah,
like you know how people did like Potter garb and stuff.
Yeah. I dress up as myself. I'm famous enough. I'm a famous wizard in the Harry Potter world. You just don't know it. Yeah, muggles.
Muggles. We are smuggles. So
it's even worse.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong.
Should we go to the recap?
Yep.
So I told Katie to do a recap and she's like, but I don't wanna. I'm like, just do it.
I did it.
It's your thing.
It.
It's in yellow. You have to.
It is. It's like permanent marker, but yellow. So last time. Yes.
We have yellow permanent markers. They're yellow Sharpies.
I'm sorry, but if something is written, like, highlighted, it's never going to be unhighlighted.
It's not like a permanent marker.
Oh, okay.
Let's have this discussion.
Let's go to the recap.
Sarah's giving me a horrible look right now.
Because it's just dumb. It's permanently highlighted.
Okay, I apologize.
Move on.
What's happening?
I'm right and you're wrong. I'm big and you're small. I'm smart and you're dumb. Name that movie.
Matilda.
She was also not a muggle.
Correct. True. Anyway, recap. So,
oh wait, that wasn't Miss Trunchbull. That was
yes, it was.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. No. Well,
it was the dad. It was Danny DeVito's character. Right?
Yes, they both say it. I
thought you were.
They both say it.
I think I remember her also saying something
she
similar.
She says something similar, but he says
he's
the
one
line
like, I'm
that
big
you're
and you're small.
God, I love Danny DeVito,
which is funny because he's not large. He's very short.
Well, he's also talking to a child.
I think he's as tall as me. You guys,
have you seen his daughter? He's got a son that's taller than him.
Can we go to the recap?
Yeah,
no.
Do my recap.
This is what happens when we don't podcast for a while. We talk about whatever.
So last time we had our Sorcerer's Stone book to movie comparison. So we went through a whole list of differences, such as characters, missing characters, maybe differences in the characters, scenes that were taken out or added, and all sorts of fun facts in between.
I need to interject. I am taller than Danny DeVito. He's 4'10".
Ooh, which is saying a lot because Tiffany's 5 foot. She's
okay,
the shortest one
on
this podcast.
Oh no, I accidentally closed out of the dock.
Good job. Okay, guys, we're going to take a little break here. We'll be RB.
Hey there. If you've run out of Swish and Flick episodes and you've already had your second breakfast, then you should head over to Box Trick with Tiffany and Matt.
We talk all things Zelda, Mario, Pokemon, Nintendo, and all other video games.
So head on over and listen because those Pokemon aren't going to catch themselves.
And as always, thanks for listening.
Hey guys, welcome back to Swish and Flick.
Welcome back. This makes mouse
this makes mouse sounds.
So the first thing that we want to do, basis of this episode, as Tiffany said, we're going to discuss the crimes of Grindelwald. And Pottermore recently put out this really cool interactive photo of the cast, which I thought would be cool to go over. We could try and see what we know about the characters as of right now. And maybe like speculate where their character may go. Something like that.
I'm down. I'm down for speculation.
So first up in the photo is young Dumbledore, played by Jude Law.
So cute.
He looks really good.
Yeah.
You can tell, and I think that we discussed this a little bit in maybe the last episode, but you can really tell that he studied Michael Gambon's like mannerisms and everything to match Dumbledore, like Michael Gambon's Dumbledore.
The arm cross, even.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned the wand holding last time.
He's holding his wand, yeah.
I guess I never really thought about like the arm cross and the stance that he's got going on. He's a little cash.
Yeah.
It just amazes me.
Like he would just like yell if you put your name in the Goblet of Fire.
Definitely.
Oh, it's the Goblet of Fire.
What are you going to say, Katie? I interrupted you.
It makes me think of when Helena Bonham Carter, who plays Bellatrix, had to act as Hermione being Bellatrix.
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of that. Like, that blows my mind. That's like acting on top of acting on top of acting. So
it was amazing.
Incredible.
Helena Bonham Carter. Mm-hmm. I love her. Love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Especially because I love Tim Burton films. And
yes.
She's in, like, most of them because they worked together for a very long period.
They were.
Yeah. Love her.
She's great.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that, like, him and Newt are going to be main characters, obviously in Grindelwald, because like his name is in the title. But I think it's mostly going to focus on like Newt and Dumbledore's what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, pursuit of Grindelwald.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. Okay. Do you think they're going to be working together?
Yeah, definitely.
I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Working together, two best friends. Yeah. This is like an 80s sitcom.
I heard, and I think it may have been one of our listeners said this in our group on Facebook, but they compared, it was a really neat comparison between Dumbledore and Harry to Dumbledore and Newt. Mm. And they're worried that, I think somebody was talking about Dumbledore in the group and somebody said this, but they were saying that they're worried that Dumbledore is going to use Newt like he used Harry.
Well, when does Dumbledore not?
That's what Dumbledore does.
So see, I don't think he will.
Huh?
I don't think he'll use Newt like he used Harry, because I think Harry...
Do you think Newt's going to... But he's not going to share... No.
I think he's going to be the same Dumbledore. Like, he's going to hold back a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't think he's capable of using Newt like he used Harry, because Harry's very naive, where he gets Harry when he's like 11 years old, right?
But Newt, so he seems can kind very of very giving.
I was gonna say very trusting.
Yes, trusting, giving, loyal.
I can see where you're coming.
See the
I
best
just
in everyone. I wouldn't think that you would do that to me. But the thing is here.
But maybe
Dumbledore's gonna keep all of his background knowledge of Grindelwald close to his heart.
I bet you that's going to come up, though.
Newt's not going to be privy to anything that happened in the past.
Like, I don't think that Newt's going to know about his unrequited love to Grindelwald.
Well, definitely not the love, but definitely not the Hollows.
So, do you
definitely
think-
not the pursuit of the greater good stuff. Because think about how Dumbledore is supposed to be living his life.
Right, and how
on the
he's
up and up.
Look to Newt if he knows all of this information.
Is Dumbledore really, like, are him and Grindelwald really, like, in love with each other?
No.
Like, were they ever dating?
I think that's a very common misconception, actually, that, like, a lot of people are thinking.
Just because he's gay doesn't mean he's, like, in love with him. Well, not in love with him, but, like, that they're dating.
Grindelwald, I don't think, ever loved him back. Mm. I think that Grindelwald took advantage of the fact that Dumbledore loved him.
Because the more I'm thinking about it, it just doesn't seem like something that
Tiffany's
would, like...
Tiffany's losing it.
Yes. Go ahead, Tiffany.
Going back, so I guess in my head I always thought that they were in love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now that you say that, and you say that Grindelwald's going to use Dumbledore's feelings for him kind of against him,
right,
or to use him, he used, what's his face? He used...
Percival Graves?
No.
Are you talking about Grindelwald?
Yes!
Oh, Ezra.
Credence. I couldn't think of it. He used Credence. There was sexual tension in Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, I know that Grindelwald and Dumbledore had a thing. So, well, maybe he's going to, like, I don't know. Maybe at one point, I thought they were going to, like,
kiss.
Yeah. And they were almost full on embracing.
I never got
and
that.
And you could feel
I
it.
Got that vibe.
Oh, I felt it. I felt it in my bones.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but I took it as this kid has never been hugged by anybody, for God's sake.
I took it the other way.
I took it
like he just needs human contact, not that they are in love. I mean, I'm not arguing with you guys. That's a great, I love it, but I just never took it that way.
Oh, I did.
Ever.
I was so
now you're going to watch it a little different.
Like, I agree.
Is clearly damaged. Oh, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, I could see it being taken both ways.
I mean, yeah, I think you can.
But I did kind of when they were in that alleyway.
Yeah, exactly. That exact scene. Yeah. I felt
I was
it.
So
it was
uncomfortable.
You could cut it with a freaking knife.
Because, like, I just felt, because clearly he's a kid. First of all, he's a kid. He's
how old
under
is he,
eight,
though?
He has to be under 18 if he's still living there and not on his own and she's not kicking him out. In my mind, he's under 18 and there's this older man that's, like, creeping on you. First of all, in any situation when you're underage and some older person, like, that's just, I don't like it. So, like, that was creeping me out. And then, like, you know that, like, the entire time he's using him, because then at the end he's like, well, the second he realizes that
exactly.
he's not the obscurus, he's like, I don't give a, like, I don't care about you anymore.
Right.
Goodbye. Like, you're not useful to me.
Right.
It's so, like, so on both the level of him, like, using him to be, like, you know, especially when you're that age, you don't know what your sexuality is. Not all the time. Like,
you're feeling it out.
No, but that's exploring.
Like, it's one of those,
you're
curious and all that stuff. So he's probably going through all of that stuff. He's also has all that extra shit with that girl being mean to him, Mary, whatever her name is. So,
bare
like,
bones.
He's just prying on all
she
aspects
did.
Of his vulnerabilities.
Right.
I think this is a good segue into the next person in the picture, which is Ezra Miller,
aka
Credence.
Let's just go in
Credence.
There.
Which is a surprise for some,
is
because
he like,
some people think that he died.
There was they made it that way. They made it look like he died.
Right. And if anybody didn't catch this, because I think that when I posted this, one or two of our listeners maybe would have was like, what? I thought he was dead. So if you go back and you watch Fantastic Beasts again, at the very end of the film, whenever the Makuza aurors, I guess, were firing spells at Credence, it looks like he exploded and died.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little wisp of something.
Obscurus.
A little wisp of Obscurus that floats away. Which clearly, if he is in this picture and he is clothed, real person, like not a spirit or anything, he obviously didn't die. Mm-hmm. So I think that's interesting.
She's going to have to explain that in some way.
Yeah, like what does that mean? But you know what?
Because Ariane had full on died.
Well, right.
Well,
we don't even know if she's an obscure
sure. But what? Well,
I mean, it's.
We do.
What I mean, but we don't.
Were they using?
I don't know.
Because if they weren't using the killing curse.
They probably weren't.
Well, then let's think, okay, maybe Ariana got hit with the killing curse. She didn't just explode.
Yeah.
Not only that, but maybe what happened to him.
And there was a body.
Because of the situation that he was in. He was clearly angry. Maybe what happened was something similar to a type of horcrux where like this little wisp flew away. Part of his soul was saved somehow.
Just makes me think of end of Sorcerer's Stone when Voldemort escapes the castle. Was it a wisp?
Do they talk about how Obscurus themselves die? Because he mentions it like
we don't know much about.
That would be interesting to see how they all.
What they mean died. Is that Obscurus is kind of just like implode on themselves.
That's how I
because they're suppressed,
right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that your body
and
just
it's this
just
burst of energy that they stop being able to control.
Spontaneous combustion.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
I mean, they don't even know anything. They don't know much about Obscurus to begin with. And they know that they only don't live past, like, I think the most recorded was 9, 10, or 11. I don't know.
Yeah,
so
he's
here comes Credence, who's probably almost 18. And that's unheard of. So they don't know anything about it.
I'm going to need a Pottermore article on that, y'all.
I think that like, you know, this is like the kickoff to this new little side project that we want to do, the Scamander stories. And I think that what we should do leading up to Fantastic Beasts is a character analysis, like one episode, talk about one character. Maybe that's like what we can end up doing with this.
Do we want to talk about how he got his role in the original one? Because he knows Emma Watson.
I thought that was so cool.
Who does what?
Ezra Miller.
Have you ever seen Perks of Being a Wallflower?
No, really good.
Emma Watson and Ezra Miller work together.
I love that you say his whole name. You never just say Ezra. You're like Ezra Miller.
Well, because I know another Ezra, so it sounds weird to me.
No,
to
we
not
don't.
Say Ezra Miller.
No, we don't.
Never heard of him.
Shout out to E. Kirk 2006.
So it was really cool in this one interview that he did. He said that he got to talk to David Heyman and, oh my gosh, what's the director's name? David Yates. About this role because he knew somebody that knew them. And I'm like, Emma Watson. Like, just say her name. Just name drop.
Oh, those are shorts. I just got so excited. I was like, he's in other things. They're short videos.
I thought you were looking at a picture of shorts. I was are you shopping while we're recording?
No, I have, I like to read a lot of stuff about like actors and stuff and actresses and movies like online, like trivia facts. Cause I love to like see, oh, I've seen them in this, this, and this, and like fun facts about their life. Cause I have no life. So this is what I do. And so I have his up like all the movies that he's done. And so, He is in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Clearly.
What?
I know.
I didn't
and
know.
And then there's short videos that's Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them before Harry Potter. And then another one that says The Barebone Family. And so I'm like, oh, there's other ones. They named them. No, they didn't. Those are short videos.
You're amazing. Sometimes I'm just like, Sarah.
So I'm segueing into the next character so we don't discuss too much about each one so that we can do these other episodes.
Yes, do it, baby.
But the next actress, her name is Claudia Kim. She's a new character. She's sitting next to Credence.
In a sensual way.
Very, yes. her name in the film, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, so I apologize in advance, but I believe it's Maledictus.
Where are you?
If you click on her...
Do you see the little
arrow? You can zoom in and see her name. Maledictus? Maledictus? I'm not sure.
Probably Maledictus.
Either one of those.
But she is the carrier of a blood curse that destines her ultimately to transform into a beast.
Interesting.
Now,
do we have a new form of
I have breed? Heard a pretty curse. Interesting theory about Maledictus.
I'm excited.
What does that mean? That name's got to mean something.
Google it.
It's probably some kind of
there's
Greek monster.
A massive theory that Maledictus transforms into a snake.
I know where you're going with this.
And
I don't.
This
Nagini.
Snake is Nagini.
I'm a genius.
Interesting.
Because I'm not sure what her name means. Did we see?
I wish you could have just seen my face.
It's a really cool theory.
I hope it means snake.
Right. I'm looking up the LatinDictionary.net.
She doesn't hide much with her character loading. Names.
No, she never does. Yeah.
The definitions are abuse, curse, speak evil, ill of, revile, slander.
I feel bad for her already. Poor name.
She's got to be dark.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Well, she's
I
with
wonder
Credence.
If he's going to turn dark.
Right. There's also a theory that Grindelwald will find Credence again. And
oh, I wouldn't
they
doubt it.
Will
team up. However, I mean, Credence was pretty mad at Grindelwald. Mm-hmm. Well,
maybe they'll have a passion
personal
makeout
grapes, but
okay, here's
is he going to know they're the same?
I don't know. That's a good
here's
question.
Another thing that's that makes us question. Think this.
He was gone before he transformed, right?
So this is where this theory comes from. This is what it stems from.
Do it.
According to the press release, Claudia Kim plays Maledictus, the carrier of a blood curse that destines her ultimately to transform into a beast. Previously, by the way, this is from digitalspy.com, just so that people don't think I'm like making this up. Previously, it was revealed that she plays one of the acts in the Circus Arcanus. We do know that we are going to be seeing a circus of some sort.
A magical circus?
Yes, which is really neat. Because Mina Lima released this print on their website of this circus, but it was never used in the first film. And then we come to find that it's actually for this film. So it's a traveling museum of human oddities. Who appeared in a poster on a wall. Oh, it did appear in the first one. I lie. It was a poster on the wall in Fantastic Beasts.
Yes, I remember that.
So which of the circus acts is Miss Kim playing? Look closely at the billed performers and you can see Boris the Brute, a perfidious hypnotist. No, that's clearly not her. Homo Amphibia. No, that's like a two-headed baby, so that doesn't make sense.
That's sad.
How about the enchanting snake girl? Look again at Kim's costume in the image, and her outfit does kind of resemble sleek and shiny scales. So it's safe to guess. People think that this means that it's safe to guess that she's Snake Girl. And it says, as we know, she's a Maledictus. She carries, again, a blood curse.
Ultimately transform.
Right.
Can she partially transform?
Or does that mean she will eventually just become a beast?
I think it could be like in the beginning of this curse, she is like, can decide maybe when to transform, but then eventually it turns her into a beast.
Maybe,
and that's why Nagini can handle being a Horcrux.
Maybe it's one of those things where like, the more times she does it, the longer, like, you know, like more times she transforms into it. So like, as much as it's her career, like she's shortening her life as a human.
It's such a cool theory.
In
the article, it says,
all I'm thinking of is when Voldemort's like, milk Nagini.
Yeah. It says here, which is funny, which leads us to the next question. Do we know any significant snakes in the Harry Potter universe?
Only a few. Yeah. Guys, I think it's the python that Harry set loose.
I think it's the basilisk.
Thanks. Yeah.
And it says here it says here also, conveniently, we know very little about Voldemort's pet before the events of Goblet of Fire. We know that the wraith form of Voldemort inhabited snakes' bodies in Albania after failing to kill Harry. And we've always assumed that Nagini was one of those snakes, or at least that his relationship with her began at that time. Considering that the Maledictus snake girl will almost certainly encounter the dark wizard Grindelwald, or for better or worse in Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, it's at least possible that she will end up permanently in snake form and either be introduced to Tom Riddle or else simply go on to discover an affinity with him at a later date.
I think she escapes the circus. And then he like finds her. Like Tom Riddle finds her.
And if
because
she really,
we're going to see Tom Riddle in these movies later on.
I'm so excited.
Oh, I can't freaking wait.
And if you think about it, if she really is Nagini, Neville Longbottom, cut your damn head off.
Honestly. So yeah, her character I think is going to be really
And think about the way that he like communicates with her. Like you can communicate with Hedwig, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But Hedwig's still a bird.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
The way that he communicates with Nagini is something altogether different.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right.
And it
like she's a human.
Seriously convenient that we know nothing about Nagini.
And if she can't transform back, like he, I mean, honestly, Nagini's the only thing on the earth that he actually cared about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Tom Riddle meets her when she can't, when Sarah? She isn't a
when
snake.
She isn't
and they
a
have
snake.
A relationship.
Yeah.
And that's why he's like, here,
that's
I'm going to keep
so
you in a bubble.
Of her.
Maybe she's the first Bellatrix. To the Voldemort.
I wonder if she got jealous whenever they, you know,
maybe
had
that's
some
really
fun
how,
in Malfoy Manor.
Maybe that's really how Bellatrix
hey, what
died.
Happens
she got bit
in Malfoy
by the snake.
Manor stays in Malfoy
Manor. Oh, God.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
So, all right, let's go.
So next up is Zoe Kravitz, who plays Leta Lestrange. Yes. And purple. And this is a huge spoiler that they decide to release just in this little picture. It says, she had once been close to Newt Scamander, but is now engaged to his brother.
Can I just say one thing? Because you see her. She's got her arm around him.
Oh, yeah.
Brother looks like a...
Yeah, he does.
Just going to be honest. I'm just going to be honest.
Boing that for me. Boing that.
He looks like a boing.
Do you want some fun facts about Zoe Kravitz?
Yeah.
Well, obviously,
she's
her father,
really good friends with Jennifer Lawrence.
She is. You want to know why? Because they were both in X-Men together.
She's engaged. Yeah. Oh, that says that.
And Megan literally just said that.
For some reason, I read it and heard it as like is with him, and then I saw a ring, and I'm like, what? Sorry, everyone.
Her stepfather is Jason Momoa, who was I don't know if I said the last name right. Who was in Game of Thrones? He was Khal Drogo, and he's the new Aquaman.
How about her dad?
Well, that's Lenny Kravitz. Everybody knows that.
What?
You didn't know that?
Also,
see?
I don't know celebrities.
Her last name is Kravitz.
Yeah, and he also was in Hunger Games.
A lot of Kravitzes, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
He was in Hunger Games, and apparently he said that
so
it was funny to work with Jennifer Lawrence because, like, her and Zoe had been friends for so long, so it was, like, kind of awkward to have that role with her, mm-hmm. but, like, fun
it was a good
time.
It was a good role to have
it
with her, though.
It definitely was, yeah.
God, I loved him. Yeah. She's beautiful.
Really like the Hunger Games. Sorry.
No, just I agree.
I
like those. I like
you
the books.
Like them
like
or
the
you
movie.
Don't like them. Yeah, they're good.
They're probably my second favorite like series.
Yeah.
What?
Same.
Really?
Same.
Well, like book and movie because I've never read any. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because you love Star Wars.
Yeah, but like I haven't read any books on Star Wars.
You don't need to read books.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Rings
book book series and movie series. Like Harry Potter clearly is my number one.
I got it.
The next is. What are we talking about?
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games.
Clearly not.
And actually,
no, anything
about,
you say now is garbage.
Someone asked me about the Divergent series, and I had
it's okay.
Had the
it's
all right. third yeah. book not ended the way oh. it did,
I will
tell you now, I didn't finish reading it because my sister told me, and I was like, that's stupid.
I don't remember.
I don't like how it ended, so I had that not happened, I would have really liked the books.
Okay.
Anyways.
So yeah, so that's interesting.
Well, for
I wonder
Lestrange,
if we'll figure out...
looks nice.
But how she
probably nasty.
Yeah. Well,
betrayed Newt and then
that.
Well, what at the end of the movie? What did he have? What did he have that was from
a
her?
Picture.
Was it,
picture
was a,
of
it was
her.
A picture. It wasn't a letter.
It was a picture.
It was a picture.
But like, how? What does he even say to? What does he say to Tina
he
when
says
he's
people
like
change or something like that?
But maybe
ooh
went dark.
That's what I'm saying because his brother looks like he.
Maybe
is not a nice human
maybe
being.
It was a Lily Snape situation
brother,
like he was trying to
I'm sorry you
but
can't say anything
is,
if you're if they were like together Hare and Newt and now she's engaged to her brother I'm sorry if
brother.
My sister did that to me no
no I mean I don't think it's good but I'm just,
in short no
his brother doesn't seem based on his character, what I've read on him doesn't seem like a bad guy, which is weird.
Well, let's
I'm
go,
sorry, has, someone that's stealing your
let's go into
brother's
him.
Girlfriend?
He's a celebrated war hero.
And the head of the Auror Office.
At
let's
the
go.
Ministry
let's,
of Magic.
Let's just
that
ask
doesn't you know, mean
and,
anything
on,
to me.
Hold on. And there's a letter that was left out of the first movie that was written from Theseus to Newt, and it's in the Lego game, which is weird. I don't know why. But he, like, reads part of it, and it's, like, Theseus just checking up on him, like, genuinely caring about his little brother. And it just, like,
yeah,
seems
really
weird. Yeah,
because he screwed him over.
But here's the thing. When did he screw him over? Had he at that point? Or was this something that happened when Newt was traveling? And then he's going to go back and be like, wait, what? So he might not even know.
That was really weird.
Like, at the end of the last movie, Newt might not even know that they're engaged.
Yeah, but then, like, what would have happened?
What would cause the, quote, change?
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. Maybe
I'm thinking, just, I'm like, thinking her going her. To her.
I mean, look at her last name. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Maybe it's her, and then she's going to affect Theseus.
They look like an
evil
couple.
Maybe they're trying to get him on the, the dark
she's
side.
She's the head of the Aura department at the Ministry of Magic.
She looks like she's seducing him into something.
Yeah,
they look like they're an evil couple. She looks, I would agree that she looks like she could be using him for evil. Yes.
There's a lot of using going on in the series here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially since he's the head of an office. She might be trying to
major office that would affect her family.
Yeah.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Am I right?
Those Lestranges. Do we want to go to Theseus a little bit here? Theseus. It just says that he is Newt's older brother, and he's a celebrated war hero and head of the Aura office at the British Ministry of Magic. And all that I know about him, just from like reading stuff online and listening to other podcasts and whatnot, is that he genuinely seems to care about his little brother, from what I've gathered. He writes to him all the time. I guess he is actually supposed to be on the trail of Grindelwald right now in Britain. Mm-hmm. He's the head of that expedition, mm-hmm. Which I find kind of funny that Newt ends up catching him, even though his brother is supposed to be on the trail of that.
Yeah. But
go ahead.
Maybe that'll go with her manipulating him into finding him.
It's good ammo, right? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, your brother went behind your back and caught Grindelwald and made you look like an idiot.
Well, and it's kind of
head of the office.
It's interesting to look at something like that and see how, I don't know if I would say like, falling in love, but like, you know, all of a sudden you have this girl in your life and you're now changing your entire way. Now you're going to be.
People do that all the
time. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you get like a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. No one hears from you again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now you're screwing your
what war?
Friends over.
World War II.
What year is this?
1920.
That's not World War II.
World War One.
But World War I.
World War II is in the '40s.
Well, because
not in 26.
Well, I'm just wondering, is there a war we don't know about wizarding wise, or are we talking wizard like involvement in one?
Yes. Because it is supposedly related to, like, Jacob's role in the war that he talks about in the movie. How he, like, just got back from the war and he doesn't really have a good job.
Well, see, but World War I was from 1914 to 1918.
Oh, yeah.
So that would have worked.
Yeah, so it's World War I.
Is that when
warfare, man.
We're talking about? Because it's not... Yeah. This is in their past.
Yes.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah.
Ooh, so that goes back, because we were talking about in some other episode of how I wonder if they're going to have any flashbacks if you see him. I just want to see how the wizarding world versus the normal world is. Yeah, I want to know.
Well, because I think it says that like they use dragons and stuff in the war. Like, how does that work? It's weird. It's a cool. I'm glad that they work together. Like, that's
well, neat. They had flamethrowers.
Yeah, maybe it was actually dragons.
IJS.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. I just think that'll be so interesting.
No, I think I yeah.
Okay, so next up is Tina, which I find
Tina
interesting because according to like plot descriptions, we're not going back to America at all. I guess a majority of the film is taking place in Paris, like most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how she's going to come back into the picture.
Well, let's speculate
probably
a little
by
bit.
Boat.
So, I mean, she...
right, but apparently, like, this next movie literally picks up immediately. So I just wonder, because, like, with how it ended, like, what is going to...
She was in love with him. Sure.
Well, yeah.
Newt said that he wanted to deliver his book to her personally, and we see that his book comes out in this next movie.
That is
so maybe
true.
They start
we saw
dating
a picture
in this
of that.
Movie.
I don't know what's happening here. I hope you can't hear that on the podcast.
Yeah,
but
there's some weird noise.
My
going.
Dad's cleaning the backyard. Sorry, guys.
It's a leaf blower, probably. Yeah. I think that, well, since we're all in Paris, I think he might write to her and have her come, or
maybe
she comes over there.
I think what would be great if our fans bought us all tickets to Paris so we really could be immersed in the Fantastic Beasts.
Creeps.
I want to point out that Tina gets reinstated as an Auror.
Yeah.
So she's going to be under Theseus.
Well,
so
maybe
she might see some shady stuff going
well,
on.
Well, no, hold on. But she's reinstated as an Auror from Akuza.
Oh, that's
but, like,
right.
I wonder.
She's the head of the British Ministry of Magic.
Thank you.
But do they live? Do we know where they live? Because if you guys don't know that they get married and have children, and it's their great great grandkids.
I think
that
they live in England because there's a Goldstein that appears at Hogwarts later on.
Well, that's a relative of hers. It's like a distant cousin, right?
But I would assume that they must live in Great Britain then if one of them
her
is going.
Because her kid moves, or her, is it her kid? Their grands, either they're the grandson or great grandson,
marries Luna.
Luna. Again, I would assume, but she, I don't know. Yes, Tiffany.
Sorry, I like to raise my hand. What did I do? Speculation. Bakuza has to team up with the British, she's probably going to get sent over there on assignment to help get Grindelwald, since she was involved in everything last time.
Yeah. I like that.
And she's in love, and then they're going to be like, she'll be like, yeah, I'll go.
Is her sister going to come, do you think, with her?
Well, she's in
well,
the picture.
Well, yeah, she's going to go. Well, yeah. I bet she'll be like a little stowaway.
But so is Jacob.
Or
so
they'll
like,
use her for her legitimates.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking.
Guys.
But she also said she has trouble with, she's, how did she, did
has
she?
Trouble with British people.
Yeah. That's not how she said it, but essentially that's what she was saying. And they're not the only ones with accents over there, so I wonder if she'll have a hard time with everybody else. Like, I wonder. That was going to be a stupid question.
Ask it.
I was going to be like, I wonder if French people think in French. Of course they do. Like, what kind of
I don't know. French listeners, tell us, do you think in French?
Bonjour.
I don't think so.
Well, you think in English, eh?
No, because I don't even speak English.
Okay, how about Newt Scamander up next here? It says here, Eddie Redmayne stars again as Wizarding World magizoologist Newt Scamander, who has now gained fame in the Wizarding World as the author of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Look how cute he is.
He's
so good looking.
I love his freckles.
I know. Mm. Oh, he's so, so cute.
But I love the picture that Fantastic Beasts posted of a sign in the window at Diagon Alley of his book being released, and he was going to be there for a signing or something, which I thought was neat. Kind of like Gilderoy Lockhart, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
No, you were first.
Oh, I was going to say, I think it might be weird for Newt to gain fame because in the last
completely.
Movie, he was like, oh, do people like you to Jacob? And then he's like, yeah, people have to like you too. And he's like, no, I just annoy people. Like,
yeah.
I like beasts more than people.
I just think he's one of those people that gets that fame. And then he's like, I don't want to.
Right.
Oh,
I just wanted to write a book and educate people.
Exactly. He just loves his animals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I agree. Just fun facts about Eddie Redmayne. I believe him and his wife are having another baby.
Aww.
And do you guys, I always get so excited. Not that I know these people, when they're like, we're pregnant again. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited for you. I'm not in your life. So I don't think it really matters if you think that me agreeing with you having more children matters to you. But, and then wasn't he in, what's that movie with Emma Watson? I'm trying to think of what it's called. My Date with Marilyn or something like that. Was that him? Or
oh,
was it
she had
else?
Such a small role in that.
I saw that and I don't remember.
My Week with
it.
Marilyn. Yeah. Well, he wants to like go on a date with her and she's like, I'm washing my hair.
She has like a really small role in that movie, doesn't she?
Well, not a really small role, but like it's like his main, he's the main guy in it. Because it's his week with Marilyn.
I think
it's a good movie if you want to see it.
Next up, we should talk about Queenie.
Queenie.
So Queenie is back. Her hair looks great.
Back again.
Allison Sudol is reprising his role as her. And it says that she is a legilimens who can read minds. That's really all they give us on her. So, yeah, I wonder if maybe Makuza will want to recruit her for that.
Ooh, I just looked at he's holding her arm.
She does work for Makuza.
She does, but she's not really...
She's not, like, put to use as she probably
should. Oh, they're going to utilize it on whatever purpose, they can. Though,
because a lot of times...
She doesn't want to use that power like that.
Well, I think it's one of those things where, like, if you've ever seen The Breakfast Club... And you see, like, the janitor guy, he's like, I know everything that goes around, like, because you almost think that, like, because you don't really see her, what is she, like, making someone tea or something?
Yeah.
That she's so under the radar so she can pick up on everything because people will, well, first of all, she can read minds anyways, but, like, they're more willing to spill their secrets when they think that, like, oh, she doesn't really matter, we're not, like.
And she that's even probably says what herself, she's like, Tina's the career girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not no mo.
Next up is Jacob Kowalski, and all they give us here is that Dan Fogler is reprising the role of the only nomadge in the group.
However,
how is he going to come back into the story?
However, he is holding her arm. So
I know, but how is he? Because she let him go.
Well, here's the thing. At the end of the movie, it's pretty obvious that he remembers something, right? And I think that J.K. Rowling... did a very good job with specific wording in what she had Newt say about that serum that they use. It only erases bad memories.
Oh.
And to Jacob.
What memory in that was bad for Jacob?
None of it. He loved it.
I mean, clearly he remembers it because he makes all of those pastries of the creatures.
But
Queenie comes into the shop and they lock eyes and, like, and then he reaches for his neck, like, oh, yeah, I do have this scar here. I think that maybe it pushes it maybe to the back of his memory, but all the memories are still there.
Did he say in it that he was, like, having dreams about it or something? Because that's what, like...
I gotta watch this again.
It's such a good movie.
I love it.
I mean, we do have the screenplay. We could be reading what he actually says.
That's all right.
Because I agree with you. Like, I think that it is something that would... Because they didn't obliviate him.
Me and Meg discussed a little bit, and we were thinking, like, maybe it's even something where he has to gradually remember.
Yeah.
Or maybe, maybe they did this on purpose as a way to make sure that he does come back, because she's probably like, listen, I actually
like this guy,
whatever. What can I do to get him off this for a little bit, and then I can go back and get him?
Well, and I bet you, because, like, clearly he's not a bad guy. Like, there's nothing, like...
I mean, he's not going to say
anything.
Besides
it being illegal, that's, like, the only reason they're not together, really.
Right.
So, like, I know,
we know that was,
like,
later
if my
on.
Sister was in that situation, like, I would do anything in my power to be like, all right, we're going to fix y'all up. Like, y'all are going to be besties.
Besties.
Why did you keep me around? Because I like you. Oh.
I do want... snacks that he makes because they look really cute.
So good.
I thought you were gonna say snacks right now, and I was like, yeah, let's
do
it.
I was thinking,
let's get some noms.
I don't think we have, but we have soda bread. Shout out if anyone's eaten Irish soda bread.
Oh, we have talked about this many times.
It's upstairs, freshly made today.
I saw it come out of the oven.
Some people put caraway seeds in theirs. We do not. That's bad, just not how we make ours.
Okay.
We call it a vehicle for butter. Do we want to move on to Grindelwald while she's looking
at
that?
Hold on, I think I'm really close. I think I'm really close. Talk about something.
Let me see if I can find any fun facts about Queenie.
Mr. Kowalski.
Mr. Kowalski.
That makes me think of Monsters, Inc.
What's his name?
Wazowski.
Mike
Wazowski, you didn't file your paperwork.
I hope your volume was turned down when she just did that, but that was amazing. You know
Have
what?
You never heard me do her?
No, but that's really good.
That was a good one.
I'm so impressed. Why are you not voicing cartoons? Seriously.
Someone needs to make one for
me. No, listen, fans, somebody, I don't know, just... If you've got a cartoon going, Sarah will do the voices of all of the characters.
I don't do that many voices. Like,
you could come up with them.
Yeah. Okay.
So it says,
get your reading voice on. Okay, then you can go.
Is she a singer?
Me. So Newt is holding a little cocoon in his hand and says, come on. And Jacob said, what you got there? And then Newt goes, well, this, the locals call Swooping Evil, not the friendliest of names. It's quite an agile fellow. And then he, like, flicks the cocoon at him, and this, like, scary creature just, like, jumps out at him. And then Newt says, I've been studying him, and I'm pretty sure his venom could be quite useful if properly diluted, just to remove bad memories, you know.
Interesting.
Holy shnikes.
Can I tell you what I just realized about Queenie? Yeah, what did
you
find?
Because you like flipped out.
So one of my people that know me, I love sad songs.
With Sarah.
So do I.
Sad songs with Sarah. Love them, right?
Hate them.
So one of my favorite songs is from a fine frenzy, and it's called Almost Lover. She sings that. That's her singing. Like, that's her thing.
Oh, yeah, she's a good singer.
My mind is blown.
Yeah, she's a really good singer.
That's probably one of my top five songs that I love.
Her speaking voice is great.
And I haven't listened to it in a long time, and I'm going to have to listen to it after this because it's a really good song. But fun fact, that's the girl that plays Queenie, and that's Allison Sudol. Yeah.
So, yeah. Wrapping up Jacob, I just think that his good memories are still there.
You basically think she picks him up back up in the bakery? Yeah. Or do you think that she's like putting herself there to get her face in his head slowly?
I bet you, yeah.
So he doesn't flip the F out, back. You know?
I bet you she's going to slowly like start like going back to the bakery more and being like, oh, like, do you want to grab a coffee with me kind of thing? And like slowly get more into
it. And then
his
he'll
life.
Be like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because he like clearly he still likes
you
her.
You know what I hope she does? I hope they like she gets in his head and whatever, and they go out and whatever, and then I hope she makes that strudel again, and then it clicks.
Yes,
wouldn't that be so cute?
No, they would be perfect. I can see it happening, and him taking a bite and being like, "I remember everything."
Yeah,
food does that, man.
Yeah,
food.
I love food.
I love food.
I love food.
So you want to talk about this last guy on the picture?
Can I ask one question?
I love him.
Two different colored eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, it's creepy.
What if he's got like some weird mad eye thing going on?
What if it is magical?
So last up
it's like a husky.
Last up is Johnny Depp returning as the powerful dark wizard Gellert Grindelwald.
Woohoo!
Look at his swag.
Feelings on this is a big issue. I love Johnny Depp. I'm into it.
Just look
everybody
at
else.
I am. Fine I'm into with it.
I can understand why people are upset.
Well, yeah.
This is coming from somewhere where like he was one of my favorite actors. I will say he's probably not anymore.
Allegations.
Regardless of, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened.
Again, I'll say what I said in the last episode. I love what David Heyman said, where he nor us should be judge and jury.
Well, and I can respect your opinion saying you don't like him.
Definitely.
Right. Yeah.
I get it.
But I think, to be completely honest, he is a freaking mastermind when it comes to these kind of roles. Mm-hmm. He's going to bring something really special to this role, just like he's brought
to all of his
other roles.
Not even gotten started yet, and he gave me chills.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to play this role, right?
No, who else would do this role?
I don't know.
I will also say I don't like the stash, but.
No, I don't either, but. He I like the hair has, though. Like,
I never thought
hair's
of
good.
There's
him
always
being
something
blonde.
Quirky about
what?
Johnny
what do you
Depp
mean?
And his characters.
He was a long blonde haired kid.
Do you think I remember that detail? No.
Get out
I
of
always,
the chair.
I always picture
wheel her out.
Hair.
Wheel her out.
I just
somebody.
Think of like, and this is a stereotype for, that I have. Like, I always think of evil people like with dark hair. Like, not saying that just because you're dark hair. I don't. It's just a thing in my head. Like, it's just something like I.
I do have a bit of evil in me.
About it, a lot of the bad characters do have dark hair.
Voldemort has no hair.
That's true.
Yeah. What do you have to say about that?
He went before he became Voldemort. I'm stuck in the chair.
He also has no nose. You're stuck in your chair. Good, Katie. Wheel her away. She can't get out.
So, Grindelwald's role in this film. Obviously, he's a major player if the film is called The Crimes of Grindelwald, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder, though, if it's going to be more so Newt and Dumbledore just focusing on crimes that Grindelwald did. I don't know how much of Grindelwald we're really going to see, per se.
Yeah.
And I kind of think he's going to play a similar role as to Voldemort, where, like, yes, he's a major character, but how often did we really see him?
That's
it's
true.
More so about what he did and, like,
what he's
the
doing.
Mayhem and, you know, after effects of bad stuff that he's done that everybody else is trying to clean up and fix. So I think that it's going to focus more so on like Newt and Dumbledore than him, even though his name's in the film title.
Sorry.
Well, it's also that. Johnny Depp. So like, even if he was in it for like when he was in Into the Woods. He was in that for a split second, and they're like, "Oh, Johnny Depp's in it for a second, like,
literally a second."
Like he was just the little wolf.
The title of this begs, though. I want to see it though. I want to see more of it.
You want to see more of the crimes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see it all.
Okay. Compare like, it to Voldemort.
It had to be rated R.
It should be.
Well, I think it depends on how it goes.
This definitely is more of an adult theme series. Well, but in, obviously.
Yeah. They're all adults anyways. We're like watching Harry Potter. He was an 11-year-old.
Here's what
kid.
I want. Whenever they remake the Potter series, which they're going to,
Hey,
Tim Burton should do it.
Oh, yes. That'd be crazy.
And honest to God, don't give me a PG. Don't give me a PG-13. Give it to me all R.
R. I'll just sit next to you and do that the whole time you're watching.
Why wouldn't it be?
I know. It could be. Especially starting,
the later books.
I mean, you can start PG. You can move to PG-13 when you kill Cedric. And then everything else from there on out, you should R-rate that.
Yeah.
And do it justice.
I think it'd be really... I love seeing...
Just because of gore that would happen.
Yeah. I like seeing Tim Burton's stuff.
Think about Bathilda.
Right. Yeah.
If they had a stronger rating on that, we would have gotten... Yeah. Some real deal. Not that I'm like, ooh, I want to see all that gore. I want to see it as real as I can get it.
Well, and it's so dark, and that's what he does. Like, everything, like, even just when you're watching it and the colors, everything is dark.
Dark and
like,
greeny.
That's why I love it.
Dear, I think it'd be really good. Dear Tim.
Dear Tim. And really, if you want your ex-wife/girlfriend, I don't know if they were married in there, she could be Bellatrix again. I wouldn't mind.
She could be 80 years old playing a great Bellatrix.
Who else could she? Oh, you know, it'd be really funny. She could be like McGonagall.
Yes.
Just give her like a total opposite.
Oh my God. It'd be perfect.
That'd be amazing. Can we talk about his stance in this picture though?
Yeah. He looks
he knows he's the big dog, the top dog. Mm-hmm. He has the Elder Wand for God's sake. And he's just holding it casually.
Yeah. Like you could just snatch it out of your hand.
Yeah.
But
he knows
David
he won't
Yates
because he's Grindelwald.
We're so excited to cast him.
I wish I had a better detail on the Elder Wand so I can compare it. I want to know if it's... I mean, they had to have made it exactly like...
They showed a close-up picture of it. They had Dumbledore's wand and the Elder Wand next
in
to
that
each
book?
Other on Instagram.
It's in this article.
Do we want to move on to that?
Let's dive into it.
It's in there.
Talking about the Elder Wand.
Yeah, here it is.
Everything we want to know about the Elder Wand. It's a mysterious instrument indeed.
Look at how similar Dumbledore's wand looks to the Elder Wand. It's kind of cool.
I think people are destined to have the ability to become the master of death.
Yeah.
Just like you are destined to become the master of cheer.
So I'm just going to...
You just wait, listeners. You just wait.
I'm destined to be master of
snacks. We're going to take a short little break here again.
Master of snacks.
If you're looking for some new Muggle outfits, check out Agnes and Dora by Mama Zamor. Be confident and comfortable in these stylish tops, dresses, and adorable leggings. Agnes and Dora provides buttery soft clothes that are flattering for any body type and any occasion. Swish and flick over to our website, mamazamore.agnesandora.com. mamasamore.agnesandora.com. And check out our Facebook page at Mama Zamor, just in time for the holidays.
Hey, guys.
Oh, God.
Sarah here.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about the Elder Wand a little bit. So there's an article on Pottermore, and it's literally entitled Everything We Know About the Elder Wand.
And this is because we're like looking at the zoomed in picture of Jude Law as Dumbledore, and we are comparing his wand that he is clearly showing here compared to the Elder Wand.
How do you do magic holding it like that? Good
I don't know. It's weird. But
well, it says it was probably first used by Antioch. I don't know if I said that correctly. Antioch Peverell.
Were you reading this? Is this on that other article?
No, it's a separate article.
It's called Everything We Know About.
Got it.
Okay, so it's in the Wizarding Fable, The Tales of the Three Brothers. We know from the Deathly Hallows that those are the Peverell brothers, and each one has one of the Deathly Hallows. And so
news to me.
It became apparent that the Eldoron, along with the Resurrection Stone and Invisibility Cloak, were very real objects. And that we see later on that Albus Dumbledore has it. But it goes by many names. The Eldoron has also been known as the Wand of Destiny. I don't like that title.
Death Stick.
A title evocative of the grandeur and power that has enticed so many wizards. Other names have been bestowed upon it through the years. The Eldoron Wand is one of them, which was given by a Barnabas Deverell. Alhorn, which is, I guess, an archaic term for elder, also been dubbed the Death Stick. It's so funny.
You just said that.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I like that.
That's like my, when I was like, oh, she's engaged. We listen to each other, you guys.
Oh,
don't worry.
Gosh. It's so funny. It's design is unusual in almost every respect. It says virtually every detail of the Eldoron hints at something unique or exceptional by a wand maker's standard. The elderwood is not favored material in wand making. However, it is still included in Garrick Ollivander's notes. Do you want me to read that?
Sure.
Okay. Only a highly unusual person will find their perfect match in elder. And on the rare occasion when such a pairing occurs, I take it as certain that the witch or wizard in question is marked out for a special destiny. That's so interesting.
Didn't I just
think about it?
Did I say that earlier? I was like, I feel like people are destined to have the ability to become the Master of Deaths. Like, Dumbledore had the ability to become that,
but he chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And Harry also chose not to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree.
I think this is neat too. It talks a little bit in this other article that we have on Pottermore. It talks about Dumbledore and Newt's relationship a little bit more. How like clearly they're going to work together in this movie.
Mm. Oh, did we not want to finish talking about the Elder Wand?
Whoa.
Oh, you weren't done.
No.
I thought that his excerpt was the last part.
No, there's talking about the chorus thestral hair.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Which is weird.
Well, it just says that there's no Ollivander notes to go on. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a material he chose to work with, but we do know that Thestrals have a strong connection with death, plus the magical properties of invisibility, flight, and an uncanny ability to find their destination. How this affects the wand is uncertain, but it does hint towards some seriously powerful magic. Mm-hmm. And it has a long and bloody history. Do you want me to go into that? Because it does talk about Grindelwald.
A little bit.
Sure.
Oh. Because it says in the 20th century, the wizards Gregorovitch, Grindelwald, and Severus Snape were all slaughtered in the pursuit of the Elder Wand.
Mm-hmm. Amongst other.
It says all wizards who boasted the winning of the Elder Wand had something in common. They were quite specifically wizards. However, this may not tell us the full story. Tempting as it may be, one can own the Elder Wand without bragging about it. Indeed, it would be prudent to resist, given the wand's tendency to attract would-be murderers. It is also possible to acquire the Elder Wand without even realizing it, as in the case of Draco Malfoy. Mm. They don't really know. They're saying, like, could a witch have ever owned the Elder Wand at some point? It's possible. But they don't really have any.
I never realized that.
Yeah. They said it's possible, especially if she did so stealthily, unknowingly, or if it simply went undocumented for whatever reason. After all, entire centuries of the wand's history remain unaccounted for. One witch even claimed to have killed the wand's then master. And it said, like, namely, Loixis? I don't know. The claim, Oh, my God, I can't read. The claim was made by his own mother. And it says, what about Tina Goldstein in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them? We saw her disarming Grindelwald. If Grindelwald had the Elder Wand at this point, did this make her the master? And it says, Dumbledore's words on the subject are open to interpretation. No witch has ever claimed to own the Elder Wand. Make of that what you will.
Interesting. Hmm.
Yeah,
I guess that does make sense. Did she disarm him? I don't remember that.
I'm trying to think. I think she did. I mean, this is on Pottermore, so it must be true.
Right. I'm just thinking. I want to go back and see. Oh, but he may have been using Percival's wand at that point. But yeah. Again, does that really matter? Because if he was in possession of it and she disarmed him, then that would work because changed. That's what happened with Harry and Draco.
Well, exactly. And if you think about it, because now I'm reading this as well, because it's talking about that happening with Harry getting ownership of it. It says, while deaths did occur in both situations, Dumbledore and Dobby respectively, neither Draco nor Harry committed the act. Talking about murdering and switching the wand switching loyalty. Mm-hmm. And it says, Albus Dumbledore managed to control the Elder Wand without killing its previous owner, who in fact outlived him. And it says, however, the belief that the Elder Wand will automatically switch allegiance whenever the owner is disarmed is also false for one very important reason. And then it says the Elder Wand decides its own destiny. It's interesting.
Huh.
Because, you know, how the wand chooses the wizard.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Maybe so it the chooses Elder Wand, only people those are, like,
J.K. Rowling says the Elder Wand knows no loyalty except to strength. So it's completely unsentimental. It will only go where the power is.
So why'd it go to Malfoy, though?
I think he was powerful, but, you know.
No.
I think that if
he was
if
powerful, his life went a different way. Necessarily in a he
wasn't
dark way.
He wasn't master of death powerful.
Apparently he was, because the Elder Wand was his.
I think he's weak sauce.
But it says, what does this power actually entail? The emotional state of wizards, where a lot hangs on a duel, that's something different. That's about real power, and that's about transference that will have far-reaching effects in some cases. That's what J.K. Rowling said.
Did you say that you don't think Malfoy was Master of Death powerful?
Yeah.
Maybe the wand knew that Malfoy was close to Voldemort, and it wanted to get to Voldemort.
Well, but he's also, he was a legitimate, wasn't he?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
That Draco Malfoy? Was legitimate. Yeah.
What's the evidence to that? And who's
J.K.
they?
Rowling.
Yeah.
Where's the, what's
I
the
think
article?
It's on Pottermore.
Pottermore.
Yeah, I think that's
it's
part
like
of his,
in his bio profile.
Are you going to throw that out there and then, like when is an instance where he
used
but
shows
I think
that?
He, I think he would have to use it, I'm trying to think of, like, when... I mean, I feel like he had a lot going on, and you clearly see him struggling.
Maybe he didn't know that he was for
Wouldn't
a while.
Wouldn't he have known, like, what Snape was up to then?
But maybe what I'm... Maybe he didn't
maybe
care.
Maybe he didn't really develop that until he was
or
older.
Maybe he wanted Snape to be successful because he hated his life.
Correct.
Especially when he was held up at Malfoy Manor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the tangled webs we weave.
Because it says, with all that in mind, consider the Elder Wand's decisions in the final two books. The standoff between Draco and Dumbledore was fraught with emotion. Dumbledore knew he was about to die while Draco raged in an internal war with his own mortality. At Malfoy Manor, Draco was once again conflicted while Harry was determined to escape and finish his quest. In both scenes, emotions ran high and everything was at stake. It was enough to affect the Elder Wand even when it was not present at the scene.
Do you think the Elder Wand knows its path?
Well, yeah, I was going to say maybe Dumbledore wanted the wand to be passed to Draco as kind of a...
To get it out of the hands.
Well, to confuse the path from
Voldemort. And
Voldemort
would have never been, oh, you got the wand.
Yeah, he would have never realized.
Because Draco's a peon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe it was kind of like... Maybe that's why it took allegiance to Draco, because Dumbledore wanted it to.
He was like, psst.
Do it. Yeah. It's okay.
Go to Draco.
Yeah.
Well, and then this says the very last two sentences say, but what caused the Elder Wand to turn from Grindelwald to Dumbledore? That's something we'd all like to know.
We will learn it.
And then it says, find out more about the life of Grindelwald.
Yeah, we'll definitely learn.
So, like, that's something interesting to learn more about the wand.
I think we're going to learn a lot about it.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to see it.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, moving
now
on.
Now that we want to talk about Dumbledore and Newt's relationship.
Yeah.
Sure thing.
So it's clear that they have a history. There's a theory that Fox came from Newt.
I like it.
I love that.
But it says that Dumbledore argued against Newt's expulsion from Hogwarts. And in the latest edition of the textbook Fantastic Beasts, a new foreword from Newt says that Dumbledore was more than a school teacher to me. He added, more than this, I cannot say without fear of breaching the official Magical Secrets Act, or, more importantly, the confidences that Dumbledore, most private of men, placed in me.
So maybe he did make him privy.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think so, though.
It says, Dumbledore in the picture of the cast of Fantastic Beasts is also shown carrying a long, impressive wand, but it's not the Elder Wand.
This is Phoenix.
Because it is in Grindelwald's hands. And it is the identical design of the one from the original Harry Potter films, which I like that they kept that.
As they should.
Yes. And if anybody wants to see it, I can try and remember to post a picture of it. Otherwise, it's on Fantastic Beasts Instagram, and I'm sure that it's really easy to find.
I'll put this article in the doc so we don't forget.
Let's see. So it is set straight after the first film, like I said. It says the film takes place in 1927, just a few months after Newt's first adventure. So we're still deep in the roaring 20s, but the characters will obviously have bigger fish to fry than taking in the delights of the decade.
That's true. Jeez.
Yeah. And then again on the Fantastic Beasts Instagram, we see a post of a picture of a sign in the window at Flourish and Blotts. And it says, which I love this little tidbit, and it's funny that this was used for a very long time leading up to Fantastic Beasts, but it says Flourish and Blotts and Obscurus Books. And Obscurus Books was in Diagon Alley at Orlando before the Fantastic Beasts movies
there's
came
a big
out.
Sign.
There's like a sign for like a publishing company called Obscurus Books.
Yep.
I
know.
Love it.
I
it's
know.
Just,
guys, our fandom.
So it says
amazing.
That they cordially invite you to the book launch of Newt Scamander's Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Follow the writer in his worldwide quest for extraordinary something. It's blurred. It's blurred. I can't see it. Saturday, the 19th of March at 7 o'clock. Flourish and Blotts, North Side, Diagon Alley, London.
I want to go to Diagon
so
Alley.
So we're going to go back to Diagon Alley.
We'll That's take exciting. A picture exciting. Of it.
I hope it starts with like a book signing.
That would be cool.
That'd be
we
cute.
Also know that the film will be going beyond New York to Paris and London.
Mm-hmm.
Although judging by Newt's travel papers that were posted again on Fantastic Beasts Instagram, guys, go follow Fantastic Beasts Instagram. They drop
in hints.
Doing
it right now. I don't think I do.
All over the place.
I don't know if I do
it's
either.
So cool. So he might be having a bit of trouble getting out of England based on his application for travel. Says Ministry of Magic notice of travel permit application denial. They denied Newt traveling out of England because the subject was uncooperative and invasive on reasons for his last trip.
Nah.
Where does it say that?
Right there in red.
Ooh.
It's Newt, got like a little picture of him with his fingerprints. It says profession magizoologist.
We
it
are
has his address
trouble.
Here.
Is it Eddie Renmein's handwriting, like where it says where his
I don't
name
know.
Is?
That would be
very
really,
nice.
Really cool, though.
Newton
and it
Scamander.
Says Newton. Yeah, that's cool.
Newton. She turned me into a newt. A newt. I got better.
I got better.
Wait, is this? It's not Instagram. It's the tweeter.
Oh, is it Twitter?
It is the
no,
tweeter.
It was on Instagram.
I thought it was on both.
It's on the
it's
Instagram.
It's a name on Instagram. It's Fantastic Beasts movie on Instagram, but on
Katie.
What? On Twitter, it's Fantastic
Katie!
I was confused.
My head hurts.
So yeah, then the only other like really big thing that's in this article is that we get to meet Nicholas Flamel. Which I'm assuming will happen in Paris.
I wanna see Professor
that's where
Binns.
He lives,
I wanna see Professor
so.
Binns.
I know.
What if you don't?
I will cry. I will cry.
It says here. Oh, there's. Do you guys know who Jessica Williams is?
I don't know anybody.
I know the name sounds familiar.
Well, she was cast.
Yeah.
She is going to be appearing in an unnamed role as of right now, but she's very excited because apparently she's a fan.
Jelly.
There are some other new casting characters that have been announced, but we don't really know a whole lot about them. We do know Wolf Roth as a character named Spielman.
His name's Wolf?
The guy, yeah, the actual guy's name, yeah. Victoria
awesome.
Yates as Bunty. Derek Riddle as Torquil Travers. Does that
Travers!
Last name sound familiar?
Yep.
He's the Death Eater in the Harry Potter books.
I was thinking of Travers, like Mary Poppins, my bad.
That too, yeah. Poppy Corby Tooch as Rosier.
Boo.
I think she's the one What's her name?
Rosie.
Poppy.
Hold on.
Poppy.
Gosh. And then Corby with a Y. Dash. T-U-E-C-H.
Yeah, so she was in a show with the woman that played Mary, whatever her name is.
Oh,
in the first one. Yes.
Mary.
She was in a show. Yeah. Isn't it Mary Louise Barebones?
Mary Lou.
Mary Lou, whatever. So she Mary Lou, and the girl that like plays you. Her were in a show called Harlots together. Mm. It was on Hulu. So I wonder if that's how she got her job.
Maybe. Then the last one that we know of is Cornell S. John as Arnold Guzman, whoever that is. But yeah, we're guessing that Travers and Rosier must be distant relatives of the Death Eaters. 100%. So we see Travers, Rosier, and Lestrange in this movie, which is interesting. Nicholas Flamel, creator of the Philosopher's Stone, will also appear in the film. He is being played by Brontis Jodorowsky.
Say that name 10 times fast.
Jodorowsky. So yeah, that's...
I'm excited.
Pretty much where we're at.
This comes out like what? The weekend before our like Thanksgiving, right? Normally when like all that...
We don't have most of Thanksgiving.
What?
No, our Thanksgiving here. It comes
like
the
Thanksgiving,
like
American Thanksgiving.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like our Christmas party. Moving on.
Guys, there's a little tidbit in here about maledictus, about her name. It says, if we break up the etymology of the word, mal means wrongful or ill, and dictus in Latin means to speak. So that kind of ties in with snake, sort of, if you think about it. Sort of.
It says here also, this appears to be her like blood curse that she carries appears to be different to being an animagus, as an animagus can transform into an animal by choice. So that must mean she doesn't have a choice when she transforms.
Maybe there's like a specific snake bite, like a
that kind of also
werewolf bite.
Maybe she's
reminds
like the
me
Hulk.
Of a werewolf. I was gonna say,
yeah,
she's like the Hulk. She gets angry, turns into a snake.
Oh yeah. Did you guys know that? Alison Sudol and J.K. Rowling wrote the song, the school song for Ilvermorny.
Oh, really?
That's so cute.
That's cute.
That is cute.
Oh, yeah. We're going to see teenage versions of certain characters.
Is being a werewolf a blood curse?
Yeah, because we're going to go back to Hogwarts.
So. Guys, we're going to go back to Hogwarts.
Hogwarts.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that.
I forgot to bring that up again. Because, yeah, they filmed stuff at
Yep.
one of the hallways.
Do it. You know it.
Did you guys hear how David Heyman said that Newt Scamander is not expected to be the main protagonist? And J.K. Rowling's like, no, he is.
What is the place that they filmed?
Why is it? Oxford? Why am I blanking on this?
No. I'm blanking
Cambridge?
On it, too.
Is that what you're talking about?
No.
The place.
London. They filmed it, like, is a hallway in Hogwarts.
Hold on.
Oh, my God.
She's going to say it, and you're going to be like, yeah.
Laycock Abbey. So they filmed there, and they were filming teenage versions of Newt, Leda, Theseus...
Who's older, Theseus or Newt? Theseus.
And Gellert.
Looks like
and
it.
Someone and a called character called Sebastian.
Under
and
the
it
sea.
Says, who are you, Sebastian?
Under the sea. He's a crab.
He's a crab who lives under the sea and does music.
Gosh. Under the sea. Okay. Are we done?
Okay.
Let's go lightning bolt. What are you guys excited most for this next movie to see?
Crimes.
I want to see all the dark stuff.
I do. I want to see it all. I want to see all the terrible things. Why? Because I'm also terrible.
Didn't want to say it, but
I'm really excited to see how Queenie and Jacob come back into the story, because I love Queenie. She's my favorite character in the series.
I'm just excited for all of these connections to start making sense. I don't think they'll all be answered,
these are
obviously.
These are the prequels we've been jonesing for, you guys. Yes. Like, if you guys are like, prequel. Well, we're getting a form of it. Yeah. And you don't know. She could be like, I'm not writing about crap. And then later on, using all this to gear up new stuff. I mean, she could lie. I mean, I would lie if I was her.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'd be like,
she's
leave me alone.
Do this.
The Marauders.
And then she's going to do a Marauders series.
The Marauders. Just do it.
I don't care in what form. Just give it to me.
I'm really excited to see like all of the characters that we know from Harry Potter now. Like, I'm so excited to see Dumbledore. I'm so excited to see how he's going to act, because he's going to be completely different, I think, because he's going to be, he's dark
right
here, I think.
Yeah,
so it's going to
be partially, at least.
I think it's, that's what I'm really,
because I'm sure that his infatuation / love of Grindelwald is going to affect how much he's really going to want to help the ministry.
I wonder if we're going to see him struggling, you know what I mean, with like the light,
like,
and the dark.
Okay, I know where he is, but do I just want to go find him and like talk to him, or do I want to turn him in?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we already know that Dumbledore took his time in actually catching up with him because he didn't want to necessarily catch up with him.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see that though. Like, see his struggle.
You're going to see definite internal struggle. Because
I bet you, like, I think it's one of those things where...
And he's going to have to lie and act. I mean, he lies and acts anyway, but I mean...
I think for him, it's one of those things where he struggled till he died with going between wanting the power and not, like, you know what I mean? I think it'd be interesting. I just think it's going to be interesting.
What year does Tom Riddle get to Hogwarts?
I don't know.
Are you going to look that up for me?
Tom and I stopped speaking a long time ago.
Because he also has to deal with that stuff.
I'm so excited to see it all.
Because he knew from go.
He knew from
that
go?
That there was something
not right. He was born in 1926.
So we'll see.
We'll literally be a baby during this movie.
During this one, but...
Because mm-hmm. how more after this? It goes 19 years?
Three more
after this. Does it go 19 years? 16 plenty years. How many years? Baby.
To when this series is going to end?
Yeah.
The 40s.
Isn't it 19 years?
I think
from the first movie, it's 19 years. So
it is 19 years later.
Wait, we know. We've talked about it.
Bell Wars.
Oh, my God.
Because when was the first one? The first one was 1926, correct?
True.
Right? Am I right? It's like it ends in what, 1945 then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever year, sorry, I'm yawning. Whatever year Dumbledore and Grindelwald fought. Dueled.
45.
So yeah, 45.
Isn't that the year that the First World War ended? Second World War.
Is it?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Look it up.
Yeah, September 2nd, 1945.
Yep. Oh man.
What if they just like What if they killed the Hitler?
Dun, dun, dun.
Maybe.
Wouldn't you, like...
She incorporated this into, real-life history, that would
really,
be so
I really,
really
hope she does. What? I'm so interested to see what it's going to look
like. Did they poison themselves or shoot themselves?
I know they killed themselves. That's all I know.
I know there was poison involved in some way. I was going to say, like, since there was, like, no damage to the bodies, but it was that bad a cadaver. Oh, it would be great. There's got to be. I just want to see it a little bit.
He swallowed a cyanide capsule and shooting himself in the head.
Oh. So he did both.
I mean,
double toe. One was going to work anyway. Good riddance. Are we done?
Yeah,
I think so. Guys. Ooh, does anybody have any other questions?
I have no questions.
This is a really long episode.
Yeah. It's long, but it's juicy.
It is. It's good. I liked it. This is a really great intro to the Scamander stories.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
You guys, when you listen to this story, this is a podcast. Tell us what you're most excited about seeing.
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear.
And you can do that on our Facebook page.
Yeah,
good we'll lead-in, Sarah.
On our discussion.
So join our group on Facebook.
Are you making fun of me?
No, I said a good lead-in.
Oh, they said good gosh. I'm like, what did I do wrong?
I said it was good lead-in, good gosh.
So make sure that you join our group discussion on Facebook. We have a Facebook group that you can join, and it's so fun. I love going in that group.
Me too.
Everybody's super active. Everybody responds. Everybody asks a ton of questions.
Can I interject something? We've got people trying to get into the group, and then they're not answering our questions. I will not let you in unless you answer both questions. We're weeding out bots.
They're very simple questions.
Yeah. Just answer them.
What is your favorite movie? And what is your favorite book?
Of Harry Potter.
So that we
Twilight
know
and
that
Twilight.
You're that you're like legitimately
I'm not
a
letting...
fan of the Swish and Flick podcast and want to talk about Harry Potter. So just,
just
if you're
going to keep
join,
it
just
fun for everybody else.
My favorite book is the Bible.
That's fine.
So go find us on Facebook. That's where we're most active. And like our page to get all the latest info. We're Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook or Swish Flick Cast on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr.
Tumblr.
Also, make sure that you find us and follow us on Patreon. By supporting us on Patreon, it only helps us to be able to provide you with better content more often. Yay. So head on over to www.patreon.com /SwishFlickCast.
If you want us to be extra BA, go and support us.
Yeah. Support your favorite Potter podcast.
And you get bonus content.
Yeah. You get access to the Felix Files as a patron.
The Felix Files.
Which comes out bi-weekly every Wednesday.
Not every Wednesday.
90% of the time at 8 a.m. Sometimes I slack, but sometimes I post it early. You guys just never know. I leave it a surprise every week.
Because it's also a surprise to her.
Yeah. But I try and do it as often as I can, 8 a.m. Wednesday. Mm. And also make sure that you follow your Swish and Flick hosts on Twitter and Instagram at Meg's Mouse Tales. And it's Tales like T-A-L-E-S, not T-A-I-L-E-S.
Like stories.
Like stories, because I like Disney and Harry Potter. Okay. Then O'Malley, O-H-H-H Malley.
O'Malley.
And Skaterade 7. And then Tiffany's only on Twitter, and she is at @TiffSwish_Flick. It's your line.
Hold on. You can also say that these are the same, like ours, minus Tiffany, because she's not on Instagram. Our Instagrams are our Twitters as that. Well. Did you?
I said find us on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, but you didn't say that it's the same
handle.
Not everyone knows it because not everyone has the same handle.
Well, now they do.
Well, don't assume.
You know what it does.
It makes you a donkey.
That's a nice bolder.
Thanks for listening, guys.
That's a nice bolder.
Let's head to Tiffany.
Okay. So, once again, thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice! I'm over my hair color.
And I'm not talking about, I'm not wasting. Yeah. No. I'm not wasting any more time of my life talking about your hair.
Dude, you married my brother. You're in it for the long haul. Until the day one of us dies, we're going to be talking about mine or my mom's hair. It's just going to happen, all right?
Reminder, what are we not going to do today with our microphones?
Touch it.
Not going to touch it, Bob.
Is Hair Raz in any songs, though?
The one in my heart.
I could not stop laughing. That was amazing.
I just get, like, bored. Like, I don't want to keep saying, like, clearly everybody knows Sarah, like.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big.